Okay, well, thank you everyone for joining us today. We decided to add in a public live streaming once a month. So we'll be doing this again next month. The live streams that we do on the community are very popular, and it doesn't seem to matter how many questions we have asked, there are always more. So it's a really great opportunity for those of you out there in the public to see what we do. We do live streams twice a month for 90 minutes. So community members get to ask questions. Again, it's a big community now, so not everyone gets their questions answered, but they often give long answers that cover a lot of topics. So, but I'm getting the message today that they are going to do some shorter answers today so that we don't go over. We've got an hour, so I am ready to go. We'll see. Jesus usually on our live streams does a little introduction or a long introduction. Sometimes we'll get him to do a short one today, and we'll see what he has to say to us. You are blessed beings indeed. I am that one that you know as Jesus. And for those new faces that generally don't get to have live connections, we are very, very pleased that you have invested your time and a little bit of cash into this meeting today. These meetings are shifting and changing energies for the participants. When we do live streams with 500 or 600 people, there is a great magnetic effect that happens, and everybody influences everybody else, and the group itself has a great influence on the world. So we want to thank you for participating in this gathering today. We can go on a little bit when we answer questions. So our dear one was in fact getting that information from us that we will be giving shorter answers today so that you do not get frustrated if this is the only time that you get to hang out with us in this chat Q&A format. So what we want you to understand is that these times are very, very challenging. And this entire ministry started 9 years ago for this time. This is not a coincidence that there is support here. It is not a coincidence that there are books here for you to read. It is not a coincidence that there is a spiritual practice demonstrated and supported through the texts that this being transcribes and channels for this time. This is why we came in this particular form, in this particular time, was to assist you through this transformative period on your planet. So if you are struggling with how to manage your current life situation, if you are struggling with fears upcoming about what your future is going to look like, this teaching is for you. This teaching is about managing your mind. This teaching is about understanding that your feelings guide you. They guide you by telling you when you are on track, which is when you are feeling peaceful, and they guide you that you are off track, which is when you are feeling fearful, anxious, depressed, angry, all of those things. Your guidance system is the gift that you were given by God so that you would not be alone here. The trouble with your society is that nobody tells you what your feelings are and how to interpret them correctly. So this is a great area of ignorance in your society, and it's a great area of problems. So this ministry is here to help you understand your guidance system. It is here to provide you with collaborators on this journey. Many of you feel as if you are alone these days. Some of you will be surrounded by beings who are completely engaged in a different thought system than you. And so we want you to understand that there is support here. There are amazing resources within the community that this being has set up. And we want you to understand that all of the videos, all of the books, all of the material that is contained within the community is available to you when you join, and it is for your ascension support. That is what it is. It is there to guide you on your way to those higher frequencies that are extremely challenging at times to be able to meet these days. So I am that one that you know as Jesus. I was that being that walked the earth so many years ago. This time I am here to bring forth messages through many, many different channels. There are many beings who are channeling me. This being is a particularly clear channel because of her Course in Miracles practice for a decade or so before the channeling began. And in that decade or so, she dealt with many of what we would call the speed bumps that cause difficulty in channeling. So she removed from her mind many resentments, many fears, many judgments. And in that work, she cleared the way for clean, clear transmissions. And that is one of the reasons that this being is so prolific, is that the transmissions are clean and clear. They do not cause her any damage in any way, shape, or form. The high energies that we bring forth do not interfere with her functioning in any way, shape, or form. In fact, they assist her functioning. Many channelers can get exhausted. Many channelers can get overwhelmed because they have what we would call energetic speed bumps. Those fears, those judgments, those resentments still residing within their minds. And when high energy transmissions come through, it slows that information down and can distort it. So we want you to be to rest assured that the channeling information that comes through this being is very clear. So we will say thank you for joining us, and we will go to the first question.
Okay, Tina. We have a question from an anonymous attendee. The question is, many of ACIM's lessons are about feeling love of God. I can say the words, but I don't feel being loved by God. What should I do?
Okay, right. You are blessed beings indeed. I am that one that you know as Jesus. The trick with feeling the love of God is that you must be the initiator. So when you come into separation, which is your choice, you are in fact choosing to separate yourself from the awareness of love's presence, love being God. So when you come into this place, you are by your very actions of choosing to come into this place saying, I do not want to be close to love. I do not want to feel that unity consciousness. I would prefer to live in a world where I can do whatever I want, whenever I want. That is really what the descent into separation represents. So once you are ensconced in this place, once you are ensconced in your individual body, which is your proof that God has abandoned you. It's the opposite, in fact. It is the proof that you have abandoned God. And this is the classic case of projection. So this is the way the mind functions in separation. It accuses God of what you are doing. And so this is really the experience you are having. You are having the experience of you being separate from God, or the awareness of love's presence. And it is only you in choosing love over and over again in the form of forgiveness, in the form of non-judgment, in the form of loving kindness. It is when you choose love that you remove the appearance of that absence. So there is this veil that comes across the mind when you come into separation and you're born into physical incarnation. And the feeling is, I am alone here. And the projection is, God did this to me. That is the projection. That is how the ego mind functions. It accuses others of what it is doing. This is also a very, very good lesson for you whenever you find yourself accusing somebody of something. She is unkind. What you do is you turn it around and say, oh, am I unkind ever? He is angry and rageful. Oh, hang on, I'm accusing somebody of being angry and rageful. Oh, let me turn it around. Am I ever angry and rageful? The thing about projection is it hides from you what you are doing. So in terms of the love of God, what you have to do is you have to choose love more frequently. And that seems as if that's unfair. God should love you no matter what you're doing. Well, God does love you no matter what you're doing. But because of the separation, because of projection, you are unable to feel it when you are deeply immersed in separation. How do you get out of separation? Through the practice of forgiveness. That is how you undo separation. So if you are still feeling, I don't have the love of God, One of the things that you can look at is starting with gratitude. What do you have? You have the ability to write. You have the ability to see and listen and taste and touch. Begin to be grateful for that. You have the ability to feel. You have the ability to move your body. You have the ability to communicate. You have the ability to do so many things. You have the ability to read or learn to read. You have the ability to sing or learn to sing. You have the ability to learn to play the piano or write a book. You have the ability to paint. You have the ability to learn to paint. You have the ability to do so many things. Start with being grateful for what you have been endowed with. You have been endowed with the powerful, creative mind of the divine. And in that beginning, in being grateful for what you have and what you can do and the things you can set your mind to accomplishing, that is a demonstration of God's love for you. Life comes from God. You are alive because of God. You have all of these abilities because of God. You think they're your own. That's the ego talking. The ego thinks it's made everything. But in truth, your life, your vitality, your creativity, your ability to love, your ability to laugh and be joyful, your ability to be kind, these are all things that you have been given by God. So you have to reframe your story, first of all, that you are extremely loved by God. You have been given the freedom to do whatever you want without punishment. Imagine that. That's how much you are loved. And so you just have to reframe your story. All of these things that we've talked about, your abilities, your desires, your happiness, your joy, all of these things, these are things that you that are God-given. And you also have been given a guidance system which tells you minute by minute when you're on track and you're heading in the right direction, and you've been given a guidance system that minute by minute tells you when you are off track. How kind and loving is that? The trouble is most people misinterpret those feelings. So we want you to understand that you are loved. You have everything inside you that you need to create a wonderful, wonderful experience. But you do have to train your mind. You do have to understand what love looks like. Love is not just a romantic feeling. Love is not just a squishy feeling in the heart. Love is life. Love is creativity. Love is communication. Love is all of those things. And you have access to all of those things. That is a demonstration of how much God loves you. We want you to understand that your practicing forgiveness is your demonstration that you understand the laws of love and creation, that you must be in the frequency of love to receive love. And that is where you are slipping off track just a little bit. So begin with gratitude of everything you can do and everything that you have been endowed with. And in that gratitude, you will see, I am loved. I have all of these things. I've been given all of these things without paying a penny. Thank you, God. I really, really appreciate being given this opportunity to be free to choose. And in that choosing, you will demonstrate your understanding or lack of understanding of your purpose. If you are feeling lost or purposeless, then you need to begin to listen to your guidance system more. Your guidance system will take you to those things that you love, but you must listen to your guidance system and begin to participate in those things that you love. Again, this guidance system is God-given. It is given to you so that you will not be left alone with your own separated mind. Your separated mind started all this, and it is your separated mind that is going to put an end to it in the sense that you choose. Are you going to be resentful or are you going to forgive? Are you going to be dissatisfied with the life you've been given, or are you going to use every single second of it to bring into being wonderful, wonderful creations that reflect your understanding of just how powerful you are? Wow.
Amazing. What a great answer. Thank you. We have a question from Bo. Bo is asking, should we make a point to help empower others during these confusing times, or should we leave others to find their own way?
A lot of people are asking. You are blessed beings indeed. I am that one that you know as Jesus. Your spiritual practice is your spiritual practice. And that is the thing to remember as you're going through these times. It is through the demonstrations that you exhibit throughout the day that other beings can see what you believe. You do not have to indoctrinate people into or proselytize to people to bring forth some curiosity. The best way these days is to be focused on your own spiritual growth through the practice of forgiveness, through loving kindness. And of course, it means that you are working with the understanding that your guidance system is for you. Other people have a guidance system and it is for them. This is something that is very confusing because of the traditional teachings of the Catholic Church over many, many hundreds, thousands of years. This idea of suffering and sacrifice and martyrdom, this idea that your life is not really that valuable. The only thing that makes your life valuable is working for others. The irony of this is until you are loving yourself, sacrificing yourself for others or focusing on their path is detrimental to your awakening process. And right now in this incarnation, you need to focus on your awakening process. This does not mean that you have to be self-centered and unkind to people. What it means is that you are looking at your life, you are looking at the choices you have, the state of your health, the state of your finances, the work you are doing, your family, your home, all of those things that are in your lane. This is one of our favorite phrases at this time, is stay in your lane. And if you dedicate yourself to living your life the best way you can, you will have inevitably a tremendous effect on everyone who encounters you. So when you are working a job you hate, when you are doing things that you don't like to do because you think you should, obligations, those kinds of things, when you're feeling down in the dumps, it's not much fun to be around you. But when you are focusing on aligning yourself with your own guidance system, that means you're focusing on the things that bring you joy. You are engaging in creativity. That means it can be in any form that you like. It can be building a beautiful garden. It can be making a fabulous dinner. It could be sewing an elaborate costume. Whatever your creativity decides, it doesn't matter. If you are interested in it, there is something in it for you. And if there is something in it for you, that means you are going to learn something that you need to learn. The trouble with most beings is that they have this idea that here's somebody who needs $100. They don't have any money. They're crying. They're broke. They can't make their rent. I'm going to give them the $100 they need. You give them the $100 they need and they get to experience temporary relief. You get to experience some feelings of joy for helping somebody out. That person, however, that you have helped out may have needed to have a tough lesson in not paying attention to their finances or perhaps not being dedicated enough to their own well-being. And then the $100 that you gave them has sort of bailed them out of that experience. And at the end of next month, lo and behold, the same thing happens again because they are creating their experience. Now, that's not to say that you can't give people a hand up when you feel moved to. You should give people a hand up when you feel moved to. But it's very, very easy to get focused on other people's problems rather than solving your own issues. So what we would prefer you to do is to dedicate yourself to your practice, dedicate yourself to your creativity and bringing into being that which you think is valuable, whether it's renovating your house or writing a book or singing, writing music, whatever it is that you like to do. Dedicate yourself to that. And when you are inspired, when you have that feeling, oh, I'm meant to help this person, then do it rather than doing it as a practice. It's very, very easy to create dependencies when you are deciding on when to work a miracle yourself. What we say to beings is when you are tuned into your guidance system, when you are doing your forgiveness work, working on your resentments, working on your fears, challenging yourself to grow and learn, and that's a full-time job in and of itself. When you're in alignment with those things and you're feeling at peace and you're feeling directed and guided and happy, it will be very, very clear to you when you are getting guidance to help somebody. The ego wants to get you to focus outside of yourself. That is one of the ways that it stops you evolving, because of course going inside yourself is the way you evolve your consciousness. You go inside and you feel your upsets, you feel your resentments, you feel those things that you can't figure out going on deep beneath the surface. Those are the things that are your liabilities. Those are the things that are keeping you separated from unity consciousness. If the ego can convince you constantly to go outside, then you will not resolve those inner issues. And what do those inner issues do? Those inner issues attract to you people, places, and things of a like frequency. So if you have unresolved resentments and you are busy worrying about Susie up the street and how she's struggling and how much you need to help her, you are going to attract to you people, places, and things and experiences of a like frequency to that resentment. And that can be in the form of sickness, that can be in the form of all kinds of things that might be on the same frequency band as that resentment. So initially, the way to work most effectively and efficiently is to work on your inner stuff, and then the expansion of consciousness will give you access to more abundance, more inspiration, synchronicities, wonderful confluence points with other beings of like frequency. And in that expansion and acceleration, you will find that you become more and more influential. Some of the beings in this community that started out just reading the Course in Miracles and doing a little bit here and there through their practices have opened up an entire new world of abilities, communities, communications, friends, relationships. They are far more influential and helpful than they ever were when they were in those lower frequencies. So get yourself up into those higher frequencies by dedicating yourself to your Course in Miracles practice for a while and witness the miracles that come. And in those miracles, you will understand, this is where I find my purpose. In demonstrating these higher frequencies, you will bring into being that which is miraculous, that which is highly influential. So our dear one here is a perfect example. In pre-Course in Miracles days, she, of course, would help people out occasionally. She would do some kind things, but it was a very, very limited assistance program, we would say. But after doing the course for a considerable amount of time and shifting her consciousness conscientiously and in a dedicated way, she opened up a door to a level of consciousness that was heretofore unheard of in her experience. And now when she does a presentation, it influences hundreds, if not thousands, sometimes tens of thousands of minds are accessed through the work that she is doing. That is the best way to help people, to dedicate yourself to healing your own mind, dedicate yourself to a project, a purpose, something that you find invigorating and enlivening. And in that, you will become most influential and loving to your fellow brothers and sisters.
Okay, Tina, there's a question here that you may be able to answer us, Tina. Give it a shot. Sylvie is asking, if the Course in Miracles was done halfway but not finished, do we need to start all over again?
It depends. I would say it depends on how long ago that was. And I think it depends on if you are you implementing any of the lessons that you learned, or has it gone completely by the wayside? I would, you know, this question has been asked of me before when I'm doing sessions with people, and I say, well, go back to where you left off, go back maybe 20 lessons before that and start doing those lessons. Do they feel really familiar to you, that you're like, oh no, I'm still connected to this lesson? Or are you reading those lessons and you find you don't have the discipline, you're not doing it as frequently as you should, you're forgetting, then you really haven't incorporated those first, however many lessons you did. And it's okay to go back to the beginning. This is not a race. The point of the lessons is to train your mind. So if your mind is not trained right now and you go back 20 lessons and you go, oh no, I don't even remember this. I have no discipline. You go, okay, my mind's not trained. I really didn't do it. So go back. And the only way you're going to feel bad about that is if you tell the story that I'm a failure or I've wasted time or how come other people can do it? They're so much better than me. You can learn something about your own mind by going back to the beginning and saying, okay, I'm going to start again and that's all right. Forgive yourself for quitting. Most people have several kicks at the can when they're doing A Course in Miracles. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have that book on their shelves for 20 years and they don't do it. So it's you're not ready until you're ready, and that's okay.
And some people throw it across the room several times, right?
That's right. I did that. This stupid book is causing me lots of trouble. Of course, it wasn't causing me trouble. It was causing me awareness of my troubles. It was making me look at my troubles. So I was becoming painfully aware of the dysfunctions in my life. And I blamed it on the book. But then I would not do it for 6 months or 9 months, and my life would turn into a shit show. I'd go back to it, and then each time that happened, I went back to it. And finally, after about 6 years of trying, although in those first years I was very, very dedicated, I was reading it many hours a day, but I did have a few periods where I stopped doing it, and Tina's ego took over, and yeah, it wasn't much fun. And by year six, I was completely dedicated 100% to the course.
Thank you so much for sharing, Tina.
You're welcome.
We have a question from CJ. CJ says, hi, Tina, Jesus. Facing losing my job of many years on November 22nd, is it worth it to try and get a religious exemption? And if so, what kind of wording approach should be taken?
Okay, let's see what Jesus says. You are blessed beings indeed. I am that one that you know as Jesus. The first thing that we would say to you is, if you have the opportunity, is to talk to other co-workers, if you have co-workers. One of the things that's happening that we're witnessing on an energetic level is that everybody thinks they're alone. And of course, this is the way that separation works. You come into a place of separation, communication barriers exist. There is a lot of internal isolation of people. They just keep thinking things themselves and they don't realize that other people are thinking the same thing. So the first thing to do is to communicate with other coworkers and find out how they're feeling. The second thing to do is to make sure that you are fired from your job. Now, this is something that people may say, well, Jesus would never say that. And on the contrary, what you have here are illegal actions. You are not allowed to be forced into medical procedures. And what is happening here is an opportunity for you to develop courage, an opportunity for you to stand strong in your power, knowing that this is the law and knowing that you are right in your saying, I do not want to participate in an experimental vaccine. This is an emergency use vaccine. It has not gone through long-term safety studies. We would suggest, rather than going for a medical exemption, a religious exemption, what we would say is, if to your employer, is that you'll be happy to take the vaccine if they will sign a paper saying that they will be responsible for any side effects that cause you to lose your salary, any side effects that cause you to be impaired in any way, shape, or form. No employer will sign that. What you can do is begin to push back. It is important at this time that everybody who is in a position of facing this dark shadow that is creeping over the countries of the world, it is time to say no. It is time to feel your own personal power. It is time to say, this is unacceptable. I am not going to go home voluntarily. You have to fire me. And to get together with other beings. This is what is beginning to happen now. There are beings in certain countries that are in positions of authority, bosses, company owners, town councillors, these kinds of things. People are suing them personally. They are not suing the job. They are not suing the position. They are suing the person personally. The idea that they are just doing their job is an immoral answer. And this is what people need to understand, that this is absolutely wrong to force people to lose their livelihoods. But what is happening for you, dear question answer, is that you are being asked to find your power. You are being asked to stand firm. You are being asked to communicate with like-minded beings. You are in a situation that is, if you take the opportunity, giving you a chance to expand your consciousness, giving you a chance to feel that you are a divine being indeed. Do not cower in the corner. Do not cave beneath the pressure of social conditioning. Do not cave. What we want you to understand is that the beings that are implementing these rules are being told from layer upon layer upon layer of bureaucracy. There are very, very few people who are initiating these rules. And as it comes down the pyramid, as it comes down that hierarchical structure of your society, more and more people just repeat those things. Oh, it's my job. I have to do it. It's my job. I have to do it. The mass at the bottom of the pyramid, the great unwashed people at the bottom of the pyramid are the power. They are the ones that are feeding the top of the pyramid, and they have forgotten. And this is the opportunity that you have to remember. And so we would say, whatever words you use, make sure that you declare that you are a sovereign being, that your body is yours and nobody has the right to inflict anything upon your body, and that you do not quit your job, that you will have to be fired. And if you are fired, you will sue them for unfair dismissal based on the fact that this is an experimental vaccine. It is, in fact, not a vaccine. It is an experimental injection that has no long-term safety studies, and that they will be held accountable for anything, should you choose to do it at their under their coercion, they will be held responsible for any and all side effects. So if you decide to go ahead and get the injection, make sure that you get them to sign that piece of paper. Of course, that's not what we are counseling you to do, but some people are doing that. They are deciding that it's too much of a risk. It's too much to lose. But if you decide that you are not going to, then stand firm, make them fire you, and then take them to court. It is important for everyone at this time to understand that this is an illegal action, and that it is there, the law is there to protect those beings who are being unfairly treated. There are laws upon laws, recommendations upon recommendations that are being blatantly disregarded. But everybody is voluntarily taking this vaccine. The intimidation and the coercion has worked on the weak-minded ones. You are not weak-minded. The last 50% are not weak-minded. The last 50% need to stand together and say, enough is enough. We are not going to do this. It is scary. It is out of your comfort zone. Everybody in your society has been conditioned into complacency and comfort and predictability. And yes, this is a scary time. But what we want you to understand is that this is the most important decision of your life. This decision is going to set the tone for the rest of your incarnation in that sense. The rest of your incarnation as a collaborative consciousness on this planet is being determined right now. Are you going to head blindly into slavery, or are you going to stand shoulder to shoulder with your brothers and sisters saying enough is enough? You are, in fact, the majority. The numbers that they are telling you are inaccurate. And the ones that have not yet taken the vaccine are the strong ones, the wise ones, the connected ones. They are more powerful than the fearful ones, the compliant ones, the easily influenced ones. Do not be shaken. Stand firm and know that you are right.
Well,
He is showing us he was indeed a revolutionary, wasn't he?
A revolutionary indeed, yeah.
Thank you so much. So refreshing. We have a question from an anonymous attendee. They are asking, how come it's so much easier to forgive others, but it feels impossible to forgive myself?
You are blessed beings indeed. I am that one that you know as Jesus. The reason that it's hard for you to forgive yourself is that there is an aspect of your mind that believes you have done wrong to God. And that is what we call unconscious guilt. In your decision to come into separation, you chose to walk away from the love of unity consciousness and, in fact, God. You came into separation because you didn't want that connection. You didn't want that love. You didn't want that unity. And that is your choice. That is what you were, that's what you're allowed to do. You're allowed to choose to experience whatever you want to experience. And what that brings with it, however, is an unconscious belief that you are going to be punished for choosing separation. And that is what most beings have active in their unconscious mind, this feeling that something bad is going to happen, this feeling that that phone call is going to be awful, this feeling that their partner is going to leave them, this feeling that the money they have is going to disappear, this feeling that there is an ominous shadow on the horizon. And what it is unconscious guilt. It will disappear as you begin your forgiveness practice. But what you must understand is that you must love yourself. And in that loving, you will begin to respect yourself and you will begin to understand yourself. So for somebody that has trouble forgiving themselves, what we would say is it is most important for you to begin to love yourself truly. And what does that look like? What that means is you listen to your guidance system. What that means is you slowly and steadily begin to remove from your life the things that you don't enjoy, the things that you don't want to do anymore, the things that perhaps you chose to do 20 years ago, but now there's a habit of doing it. Every day, listen to yourself and ask yourself, is this thing I'm doing or participating in making me happy? If it's not, then you're doing it out of a lack of love for yourself. So again, these are foundational beliefs that have been indoctrinated into generation after generation and after generation. And many of you had parents that told you you were selfish if you did what you wanted or if you spoke up and said, but I don't want to go to auntie's for dinner. I don't like it there. They would punish you and yell at you. And you would as a child be terrified to speak your truth. You would be trained into year after year after year, sacrificing yourself on the altar of social conditioning. And this is where a lot of beings find themselves. They find themselves living a life that is made up of the last 1,000 decisions they made. And those last 1,000 decisions were made were not by them. The last 1,000 decisions they made were made by their social conditioning and what you learned at school and what you've seen in movies, all of these kinds of things. There are many people who are having sexual encounters, for example, that they don't enjoy and that they don't like. But because of the social conditioning through movies and these kinds of things, they believe that that's what they should be doing. In fact, it's making them very, very unhappy and oftentimes sick or putting them in danger. But the truth of the matter is the social conditioning is so strong around sexuality in your society that people think there's something wrong with them if they want to take time or if they want to be in love with somebody before they have an intimate physical encounter. But they don't know that the social conditioning has overridden their guidance to such a degree that they can barely feel it. All they know is that they don't feel good, they don't feel happy. So what we would say to the questioner is begin to love yourself by slowly and steadily removing from your life that which no longer interests you. And on the contrary side to that is begin to investigate that which does interest you. Did you always want to learn a musical instrument, but you never gave yourself the time? Okay, find some time by deleting that which you don't want to do anymore. And every one of you will have something that you're doing that you don't want to do anymore. Delete that thing and replace it with something that makes you happy. You cannot just take things out of your life. You have to replace them with things that make you feel happy and good. And as you do this, and it can be as simple as going to bed early when you feel you should stay up later. Let's say you have a partner who likes to stay up until 11 o'clock, but you are tired by 9 and you'd like to go to bed, but you stay up a bit later because it seems not, it seems kind, it seems polite, but you're struggling. Start to go to bed when you want to and let that partner experience their own experience. Begin to experience your own experience. Take yourself up to bed at 9, have a bath, read a book for a little while, and drift off to sleep early if that's what you want to do. So it can be in the simplest things of not eating foods that other people want to eat. For example, many people will eat foods that are not their preference because either somebody else is cooking and they'll just eat what's served up, or on the other hand, they will just eat what the preference of other people is. So these are the places where you can begin to show love to yourself by listening to your tastes, to your feelings, and your preferences. These are the ways that you show love to yourself. And as you increase that frequency within you, that you start to be happier because you're going to be listening to yourself more clearly, you will be able to forgive yourself more because your mind will be more in alignment with love. And when you don't forgive yourself, if you're hateful to yourself, you will feel the negativity of it. You will feel, oh no, this does not feel good. And you always, all of you must remember, when you don't feel good, you have done something unloving. You've had an unloving thought about yourself or somebody else, or something else, or a situation. Remember, if you feel bad, you're off track. What are you doing? Go in there and ask yourself, what did I just say to myself? What did I just do to myself? Oh, I blamed myself for something that happened 20 years ago. The past is done. Your point of power is the eternal now. This place, this second right here, right now, is the only place that you can shift anything. So forgiveness practice is for you, first of all. Remember, the point of power is here and now. If you are heading into the past, you are contaminating the point of power in the eternal now with a past negative image or idea. And it is through your personal choice that you are doing that. Your memories seem to pop up inadvertently, but you, in fact, are allowing them into the present moment. Just as anxiety means that you've allowed your mind to wander into an unpleasant future and you are believing that it's coming. So always, always, the way to forgive yourself is to come back to this moment, the eternal now, and say, this is where I create. I am going to amend my behavior in the eternal now. If you've done something that you consider bad in the past, make amends for it. Apologize, pay back the money, return the stolen item, whatever it is. If you were unfaithful, if you were a liar, make your amends by refusing to do it ever again. And you make that amends in the eternal now. You make a promise to yourself now to say, I was ignorant then, I didn't know how to do better, but I do now. And so my promise to the world is that I will never do that again. And that is forgiveness work. That is you saying, I let myself off the hook for ignorance or sadness or depression or desperation or whatever motivated your behavior in the past. And in this moment, you say, I will never do that again. And that is forgiveness. That is true apology when you amend your behavior in this moment.
Thank you. All right. We have a question from Carol. She's asking, Jesus said the next few months would be seeing, I can't speak right now. Jesus said the next few months would see big changes. Does this mean we will see more truth come out about the side effects of the shot or revelations of betrayal by those in power?
You are blessed beings indeed. I am that one you know as Jesus. The biggest shift that is going to happen is in those saying no. The biggest shift that is going to happen is going to be energetic. The entire plan of this shadow that is casting its image over your world right now is through compliance. That is the way that it is moving forward. Compliance, compliance, compliance. Tyranny can only work when everybody complies. And that is what is shifting and changing from an energetic point of view. So there are several facets to the shift and change. One of them, of course, will be the real consequences of the vaccine program becoming more and more apparent, as it is. The other factor will be that there is a fatigue that is becoming more and more noticeable, even in those who have been compliant. So once the third booster and once the third shot and once the fourth shot is being talked about, there are beings who have had the first two shots that are saying, absolutely not. The first two didn't work. I am not going to be doing these other ones. So what's happening right now is that in three or four different areas, you've got the truth becoming evident. You have fatigue at play, and you have this, as our dear one said earlier, the second 50% are not as easily maneuvered as the first 50%. And they, in fact, are much, much stronger. They are much more well-educated. They are much more aware, and they are gathering together, not only in physical form in demonstrations, but they are gathering together energetically. And this is the place where we want you to focus. Stop looking to the world for evidence. Begin to go inside and focus on the truth that you want to have come out. Focus on your health. Focus on what you are educating yourself with. There is this constant desire to see the evidence, to say, oh, I see the change now. Out there it is. Again, this is what the ego does. It always counsels you to wait until you see the change outside. Oh, then I can be brave. Then I can say something. No. Begin to go inside now and ask yourself, what am I feeling? Am I feeling powerless? How can I become more empowered? Connect to other like-minded beings, get together and say, is there something we can do in our community? Can we get 10 of us together to go to the school board and start arguing about the fact that they're going to be vaccinating children? Go to where they're vaccinating children and take a handout and hand it out. Stop sitting on your couches waiting for the flip. The flip is coming, but the flip is only going to come from the energetics of all of you that want it. So this is a time, again, of the potential to become very, very empowered. This is the time for action. This is the time to say, they are coming after our babies. We need to get out of our houses, and we need to get together and organize and make our voices heard. Never go into a demonstration or a confrontation, let us say. If you are going to do something, never go alone. Go with 8 or 10 other people. And then it is much more difficult for them to deal with you. This is a time of collaboration. This is the evolution where humans who have been isolated and separated in their apartments and in their nuclear families, where they are, they feel alone a lot of the time. This is part of the healing process, coming together and working together for right, for good, for love. It is challenging because you've all been conditioned out of it. You've all been conditioned into living in isolation, and this is the time for it to be over. So for all of you that want to see an absolute shift in this trajectory, get together with like-minded beings and make a plan. Begin to act, and this is exactly what is going to flip the entire situation, is beings saying enough is enough. We're not letting you take our children. Wow.
OMG. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay, we have a question here. If someone has gotten the vaccine and now regrets it, or a child has been forced to be vaccinated, is there any chance to heal this again?
You are blessed beings indeed. I am that one that you know as Jesus. When you make a decision and there are regrets, you have learned something. And what we want you to understand is that at this time, in this particular incarnation, this is a very, very important choice. This is a very, very important opportunity for learning. So when we look at beings, and there are increasing numbers of beings who have taken the vaccine and are regretful of that choice, they have learned something that their soul will never, ever forget. through eternity. And so what we say to you is that is what you must rest your eyes upon. You must look upon that lesson that I was intimidated, I was coerced, I was worried what people thought of me, and I took the vaccine and now I regret it. That will never happen again. Or the next time it happens again, you will remember what you did. You will remember throughout eternity. And so we say that is the point of this choice. This choice is an irrevocable choice. The way that these vaccines are constructed is that they are going to have permanent effects on your immune system. There are ways that you can mitigate that a little bit, but you are not going to be able to undo it. They are not designed to be undone. They are designed to be permanent affectations of your immune system. So that means that your immune system no longer works in the way that it was designed to work, which was incredibly in a very complex system that is barely understood by humans. Even doctors that are specialists in immunology and virology, they do not understand totally how the immune system works. And so essentially what has happened, it's like taking your Ferrari into a beginner mechanic who has undone some bolts and put them back in incorrectly. That is going to cause trouble in the Ferrari's performance. So in the sense that that's a mechanical defect that can be fixed, the fact is that in the immunological sense, it cannot be fixed. But what you can do is eat well. What you can do is take lots of supplements that are supporting your system. What you can do is lose weight if you need to lose weight. What you can do is eat organic if you haven't been eating organic. What you should in fact do if you have taken the vaccine and now you regret it is you should treat yourself as a high risk person. You should treat yourself as a high risk person. You now have a compromised immune system and you may have permanent and or disabling and or fatal consequences of that particular choice. Now, what happens to a soul who does that? Well, you learn. That is one of those things that is sad truth, but there are going to be and have been many thousands and thousands of people who have lost their lives to this social conditioning that forced them, quote unquote. They were never forced. They were coerced at times, but every single person who's been vaccinated, who is an adult, has chosen that action. They may have felt pressured, but they chose it. They use their free will. And this is an important thing for anybody who has taken the vaccine to understand. You used your free will, and maybe you were influenced by things that you shouldn't have been influenced, but you will never forget this lesson. The story for kids is the same in terms of the effect of the vaccine. There are going to be many, many negative side effects for young beings from this vaccine, and those beings that took that young child to get the vaccine will on some level have a karmic consequence to their actions, because the child did not have any volition in that situation. It was taken to the doctor or the clinic and they really didn't have a choice. Of course, they're innocents. They're not able to make these kinds of decisions. So the child will not have any karmic consequences to it, but the adults that influence that child will indeed have karmic consequences, and some of them will see their children suffering. And there are, in fact, already parents who have given vaccines to their children and deeply, deeply regret it, who no longer give vaccines to their children. The spiritual evolution that you are all going through in this incarnation is intense. You are at the end of a spiritual season, which means that whatever you haven't dealt with is going to come up in this lifetime, and it is not going to go away. So these pressure situations that you are in are asking something of you. What are they asking of you? They are asking what you believe in. They are asking what you have faith in. They are asking what your idols are. They are asking what you're afraid of. What is the thing that you are most afraid of losing? Are you afraid of losing your job, or are you afraid of losing your child's life? This will determine your behavior, and your behavior demonstrates what you believe to be true. And this is an opportunity for every being to witness what they believe in. Now, there are these phrases like worshiping false idols, and that is what is being shown at this time. There are many beings who have put their faith in criminal organizations over their own guidance, and that is a lesson that they needed to learn, and that is a lesson they will never forget.
Wow. Thank you, Tina. Okay, we have a question from Anita. She's asking, I would like some advice about parenting, in particular fighting, siblings ages 4 and 6.
When I had my second child, so I was pregnant with my second child, and the entire 9 months of that pregnancy, I was counseling my older child on the fact that there would be no sibling fighting, that he was to be a good big brother and that to love his brother. And that, so I spent, the reason I did that is that I had two stepsons who fought the whole time, and it was awful. And I saw that they fought and fought and fought because they were allowed to. And so that was why I invested so much time. And as it turns out, my sons rarely fought. They were very, very good to each other, but I had zero tolerance for sibling battles. So that was part of it for sure. Okay, I'm doing the wrong thing. I'm putting my glasses on two channels. It's the wrong thing. Hang on, I gotta get a drink. You are blessed beings indeed. I am that one that you know as Jesus. You are the parent. You are the one that sets the rules. You are the one that guides your children. Just as you do not let your children eat candy for breakfast, you have the ability to intervene in this energetic exchange that you have as parents. If there's one of you or two of you, you have allowed this to go on. And you have the ability to learn how to dissolve this pattern. What you have to do is sit your children down and say, I have learned something, you little rascals. I have learned that I don't like being around fighting. And we are going to institute a new rule in this family, which is that when fighting starts, we are going to stop it immediately. And you want to apologize to your children for allowing them to do it, because you can say to them, it's basically my fault. I'm the parent. I needed to teach you something that I didn't teach you. But I see how distressing this is in the family. I see how this is unpleasant for everybody, including both of you who are fighting with each other all the time. So we are going to have a new rule. We're going to have a rule where we speak kindly to each other. And if a fight begins, I'm going to intervene immediately, and I'm going to separate you two, and I'm going to put you in separate rooms, and I'm going to come in and talk to each of you. I'm going to ask you what happened. We're going to talk about the event that caused the fight. And then you're going to stay in the room while I go and speak to your other sibling. And I'm going to ask them what happened. And then after I've listened to each of you quietly and calmly in your own rooms, and you've sat there for a little while, and you have realized that, oh, right, this is the new rule in the family. And as the parent, you would not get mad at them. You would say, oh, I'm retraining you. I poorly trained you. I'm retraining you. So this is not your fault. I'm learning too. And then you would bring the children back in, and you would put your arms around them and say, okay, let's have a group hug. We've decided that this is what happened, and this is how we're going to resolve it. And this is how we resolve conflict. We love each other. We talk to each other. We are calm, and we are respectful of everybody. Because if you don't deal with this now, this is going to escalate into poor behavior in school. This is going to result in poor behavior in relationships. This does not change. If you believe that attack is the solution, that will always be the solution that you resort to. And this is a fundamental teaching of A Course in Miracles, that attack is never warranted. But you must teach your children that. They will not know that, especially if they are watching violent things on TV. Remember, the shows that your children are watching, the entertainments that your children are watching, what do they watch? They watch the bad guys fight the good guys. The good guys are the winners. The good guys are the ones that are being portrayed as the victors in cartoons and these kinds of things. But they are being taught that fighting is the way to end battles. It is not. Fighting is not the way to get what you want. Love is the way to get what you want. And that is what we would say to the question asker. Begin to teach your children how to love each other. Demonstrate it by being loving to them. If they're fighting with each other all the time, are you yelling all the time? Are you demonstrating the same energy with them so they're picking it up from you? What are you allowing them to watch for entertainment? Are you allowing them to watch shows where the good guys are fighting all the time with the bad guys? That children don't know the difference between these kinds of points of view. All they see is that fighting is a good thing. In this little cartoon, fighting is a good thing. So this is generally where this kind of behavior comes from. It's from the shows that children watch. Parents put a kids show on thinking that it's a happy little thing, but if you sit down and watch it, you will see, they're battling. Oh, this is why my children are battling. So be very, very cautious about what you let your children watch. So this is the last question of this particular hour. We hope that those of you that have joined us for this wonderful excursion into spiritual teachings will join us again at some point. These two wonderful beings will be offering up another one-hour session next month. But of course, if you wish to join the community, you have access to hundreds of hours of these kinds of questions and answers. And so if you are hungry for spiritual education, if you are struggling with your life, if you feel that you could get so much more out of this experience, out of this incarnation, if you find these current circumstances challenging and you don't know what to do, there is a deep and wide and broad resource available to you in the Channeling Jesus community. So if you enjoyed this, you may want to join, but if not, we hope to see you again next month. And we thank you all for participating in this communal activity. It has shifted everybody's frequency just a little bit. I am that one that you know as Jesus, and I will speak to you again soon.
Thank you so much, Tina. That was amazing. That was wonderful.